Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in. The next 10 minutes are inspired by a student and a rowing coach. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the engine. Students always come in with various levels of their homework completed. And most of the time, people come in with all of the homework completed because they know if they come in without all of their stuff done, it's not going to be pretty because I don't suffer fools, right? If we're in here to get work done, you're going to have your homework done. And if you don't have your homework done, it's not going to be that long before you're not allowed to come back to class. There's a problem there. There's a fundamental issue that I have. And sometimes when I call parents to say, hey, guess what? Little Johnny hasn't been doing his homework. And if he doesn't get his homework done, he can't come back. And then the next week he doesn't have it done. And I call him and say, well, look, I mean, it's kind of over. He can't keep coming back to class. Sometimes the parents get really weird. It's like, wait, what do you mean he can't come back? I said, well, you know, you're paying me money to make sure he's going to do better on this test. He's not getting his work done. He can't just keep coming with no value here for you. And they get really upset sometimes. They say, well, look, can't we just keep paying you and you can keep coming, or he can keep coming, and that's fine. And I frankly morally object to that, because if I'm taking your money and I'm not adding value to your life, then I'm just like a scammer and I'm not about that life. So it doesn't work out well. And in order to avoid this, a lot of times my students will try to get me to agree with their version of reality. So they come into class and they say, hey, look, I didn't get my homework done. I say, well, why didn't you get your homework done? And they start weaving these mostly probable lies. And they'll say, like, well, I was really busy. That's obviously defense number one. I was busy, and by the fact that I was too busy, I couldn't get it done. You should understand and agree with that. Well, I said, what are you busy on? And they said, well, my brother had this thing on, he had a confirmation. Now, let's say we're in a Monday class or a Tuesday class. I said, all right, so he had confirmation on Sunday. They say, yeah, but we had people over too. I say, all right, well, look, let's assume that for some reason you were just incapable of getting work done on Saturday, which you and I both know is not true. And they're like, we're like, well, that leaves all of Sunday. Now, you had this confirmation, you had people over, right? And they're like, yeah. We're like, well, look, confirmation's at church. Yeah. Okay, so you didn't really have to do a lot of setup there. So what was it, 11 o'clock? Usually they say, you know, yeah, something like that. All right, so you got up, let's say 8 a.m., and you had till, let's say, 10 to get stuff done. Then you get showered, get dressed, get your stuff down to the church. Fine. You do your thing. You have people over at your house, what, 1 o'clock? And they start seeing where this is going. They're like, yeah, 1 o'clock. All right, great. Maybe an hour or two? Yeah, okay, maybe an hour or two. Great. So it's now 3 o'clock. You have the rest of Sunday. Let's even say you have a family dinner from 6 o'clock. You have from 3 to 6 o'clock, and then you have 7:30 onwards to get your homework done. You could have got it done then, any part of that time, or Monday, or let's say it's a Tuesday class. You could have done it right after school. The point is, they always try to weave very quickly this idea that there's a version of reality that I should agree with without prodding, that makes it impossible for them to get done what they should have gotten done. And I never accept that. I never accept that. Now, it's not that there aren't things that really happen, like, hey, I got COVID, I didn't get my homework done. Okay, look, you get a pass. How are you feeling? Can I drop off some chicken noodle soup? But the vast majority of times, younger people try to create a reality and get you to agree with that reality that absolves them of any wrongdoing. And I can't get behind that, specifically because this is something I personally have nightmares about. I know that seems really extreme, but it's very, very true. I was a rower in college, and it was an incredible rowing team, the best in the nation. And I spent a lot of time in my years leading up to college manipulating reality in the way I would just say. I remember, actually, I was in second grade, and Miss Kurihara was my second grade teacher. And I was supposed to be writing these words in rainbow. So what we would do is write down a word and then take every crayon in a packet of 12 or something and copy the words. So it was like these rainbow words, right? So you get all these different colors and we're supposed to be just repeating the words. It's not a big deal, right? I mean, this is second grade work. I was able to convince Miss Kurihara, and I'm sure she didn't entirely believe me, but I was able to weave and manipulate the conversation in second grade, by the way, to the point where I convinced her I was incapable of doing the work because I did not have crayons at home. And I was incapable of getting the work done in class where we had crayons for other reasons. So I backed her into this corner and she was like, okay, all right. If you get these all done while you're in class, right, for like 3 weeks, I will buy you a little packet of crayons so you have crayons at home. I was like, that's very kind of you. Thank you. And she did. She bought me crayons, so I no longer had that excuse. But again, that's how I functioned. Well, guess what? If you're going to be the best rowing team in the country, and I rowed for Cal, if you're going to be the best rowing team in the country, you don't have the flexibility to manipulate reality. You don't have the flexibility and the luxury of just lying to yourself and others and having it be okay. When you're a second grader and not doing your rainbow words, yeah, you can do that. But when you're trying to beat Harvard and Yale and Princeton and Washington in a rowing race, you can't just convince everybody that you're the fastest. And coming from the world I did and entering the world at Cal in college for rowing, I didn't know that, and I didn't really get it entirely. And there were times when I had performed poorly or not as well as I could have. And I remember trying to convince my rowing coach that it was okay because, or this is what happened and oh gosh, what bad luck and boom, boom. So he wouldn't think poorly of me. And I remember in one particular case, I was trying to convince him that I had not done as well in a race in a small boat. And in small boats, you steer with your feet. You know, you twist your foot left and right, and that moves the rudder so you can steer. And we had gone way off course, primarily because the person I was rowing with was stronger than I was. And instead of exposing myself and saying, yeah, this Gary really hauled on it and, you know, overpowered me, and that's why we got off course, I was trying to convince him that my foot, which it does actually, it turns 20 degrees to the right, just naturally, if I'm standing up straight, it's like 20, 30 degrees to the right. I was like, well, you know, my foot actually naturally turns to the left, or to the right, and, you know, we're kind of veering off course. And he looked at me, and he didn't argue with me. And this is the thing that I actually struggle with. He just stared at me and let the absurdity of my statement just hang in the air. And it's not one of those things where, like, I killed somebody. But it is a thing that painfully exposed my inability to call reality what it was, and my desire, my childish, foolish desire to try to manipulate the world as to hide my deficits. And I actually have bad dreams about this. And I've been down on myself for years about it, being this squirrely, you know, pathetic kind of dishonest person and attempting to get other people to agree with me, to view my piece of the world and, or excuse me, view my version of the world as true. And I've been wondering why it bothers me so much, because I did a lot of just standard stupid things as a kid. It's not like it was perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Why this one? And it comes down to fear. It comes down to being terrified of what you become, if that's who you are. Because if I ultimately was able to convince my coach that I did not do as well as I could have. And it was not my fault. If I'm able to convince Miss Kurihara that I did not produce the rainbow-colored words, and it wasn't my fault, if I'm able to convince the world that I am less than I could be, and it's not my fault, then I have no ability to become great. Think about it. If you convince the rest of the world and yourself that the world is inherently biased against you, that the world is keeping you down, you have no capacity to improve or change it. My foot turns 30 degrees to the right. There's no way I could keep that boat straight when I'm rowing with Gary. It has nothing to do with power. That's just the way my foot goes. I'm cursed. I have no ability to ever fix that because it's not my fault. And I'm terrified of that. I'm terrified of becoming the person who convinces other people and themselves that the things they don't like in the world are not their fault and they can't do anything about them. Because that would be a cursed life. It would be a life where you're at the whim of the universe with zero capacity or proficiency or competence. I can't live in that world. I have to believe deeply and meaningfully that I personally can improve my plight. Because without that, man, we're awash. We're awash in the sea that can be angry, it can be great, it can be terrifying, and we can't do anything about it. That's like being a baby, an infant, a newborn. Except you're actually walking through the adult world. That's what keeps me up at night. Honesty is a difficult thing. Taking ownership of deficits and mistakes is a difficult thing. But it's less difficult and painful than the alternative. I'm Matt Todd, and this is the engine that drives me. Go out and crush it.